I would like to call the meeting of the HDC Audit Committee to order and note the presence of a quorum. So the first item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on March 27th, 2024.
I move.
Second?
Second.
Okay, very good. Any, all in favor? We have everybody in favor. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. So Kathy Bauman will now review the agenda items.
Thank you, Harry. So we'll start off with the second and third quarter financial reports that'll be presented by our controller, Chuck Yu. As you know, Mary John retired on July 1st, and Chuck has been promoted to controller. Chuck's been with HDC for over 30 years, and he's been deputy controller for close to 7 years, working closely with Mary John. So the transition with Chuck sliding into controller has been seamless, and the accounting team and HDC are in good hands with Chuck, so congratulations. And then Ellen will be presenting the debt and investment report, and then Mary Hom will be presenting the report on credit risk as well as internal audit reports, and then she will be asking for your approval of the audit committee charter. And then Neil Saranga, our deputy director of internal audit, will be presenting the second half of the fiscal year 24 internal audit plan for your approval. And then Rob and Danielle from EY will be presenting their audit plan for the upcoming fiscal year 2024 audit.
Thank you. Okay, next item is the second and third quarter financial reports. I'll repeat what I've said before. Based on the results, I think we should have an IPO. Chuck, you.
Thank you, Harry. Good morning, everyone. The audit package that you receive contains both the second and third quarter financial statements. The activity and results from the second quarter roll up into the third quarter results. So I will present the results of the third quarter today. The third quarter of the fiscal year 2024 financial cover the period November 1st, 2023 through July 31st, 2024. As of the end of the third quarter, revenues exceed expenses by $539.3 million, compared with the same period in fiscal year 2023, when net income was $355.2 million. The increase of $184.1 million was primarily due to high earnings on the mortgage and investment portfolio. Operating revenues for this period were $669.8 million compared to $559.8 million during the same period last year. Interest income on mortgage loans, the largest components of operating revenues, total $577.6 million, an increase of $98.7 million, or 20.6% from a year ago. Non-operating revenues was $262.7 million. This was primarily due to realized investment earnings of $118.2 million and the fair value adjustment of $137.4 million on investment securities. Operating expenses were $393.3 million, an increase of $56.7 million, primarily related to the $49.6 million increase in bond interest expense due to the continuing elevated interest rate environment. Total assets were at $27.3 billion, an increase of $2.8 billion, or 11.6% fiscal year end 2023. This increase was primarily due to growth of the corporation's mortgage portfolio. The mortgage portfolio net of conduit loans increased by a net of $2 billion to $21.6 billion, accounting for approximately 79% of total assets. The mortgage portfolio performs relatively well, with a delinquency rate averaging around 3%. Total liabilities were $22.7 billion, a net increase of $2.3 billion, or 11.2% from fiscal year end 2023. Bonds and debt obligations, excluding conduit debt, increased by a net of $992.2 million. New issuances were at $1.4 billion, while principal repayments totaled $426.3 million. Payable to the City of New York increased by $1.2 billion, primarily due to the receipts of grant funds to make mortgage loans on behalf of HPD under Section 661 of the Private Housing Finance Law. Net position at the end of the third quarter was $4.6 billion, up by $539.3 million from fiscal year end 2023. Any question?
Very, very good performance. The debt report, Ellen.
Okay, thank you. The corporation's debt report is as of August 31st, 2024. The last report presented to the audit committee was as of February 29th, 2024. During this time, the corporation issued six series of open resolution bonds totaling $837.7 million. The corporation also issued two series of bonds in the impact resolution in the amount of $160.3 million. The corporation redeemed $4.4 million of bonds in one series of open resolution bonds during this time. The corporation's debt outstanding as of August 31st, 2024 is approximately $16.7 billion, and the corporation's statutory debt capacity is at $19 billion. Are there any questions?
Plans to increase the statutory debt?
Yes, we are going to submit legislation to increase it to 20 billion.
20?
Yep. 20 billion, yes.
Not always every year, but close to every year.
Yeah. Okay. You're still on stage, Ellen, for the investment report.
Okay, thank you. The corporation's investment report is as of September 4th, 2024, and funds under management totaled approximately $6.6 billion, and this report reflects routine investing activity of the corporation. Any questions?
Okay. No questions? We'll move to the report on credit risk.
The report before you is dated August 31st, 2024, and the previous reference in New York is dated February 20, 2024. There were no new approved counterparties, and there were no rating agency actions. HGC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo, and the Wells Fargo exposure is primarily forms of construction letters of credit, covering 24 projects and 5 interest rate hedges. Investments rated AA or higher were 45% of total investments versus 47% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or lower or not rated at all were 44% of total investments versus 48% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high quality U.S. Treasury and agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank municipal letters of credit or MULOCs. The weighted average maturity of the investment portfolio was 2 years versus 2.3 years at the last report. And finally, HGC exposure to liquidity providers was approximately $790 million, and interest rate hedges outstanding totaled approximately $1.2
billion. There being none, the internal audit report, Mary.
Since the last report to the audit committee, the internal audit team completed its annual internal assessment of the internal audit function and 4 internal audit projects. On the annual internal assessment, you will recall that HGC conducts an annual internal assessment of the internal audit function in accordance with the Institute of Internal Auditors guidelines, as well as HTC's own quality assurance and improvement program. The assessment outlines the structure and activities of HTC's internal audit department for calendar year 2023, including all audits completed, internal audit projects and initiatives, governance and oversight activities, and updates regarding employee development and ongoing training that helps to ensure that staff remains current on internal audit practices. On the four internal audits that we completed, we completed an insurance audit on bank token management, an assurance audit on month-end reconciliation, a review of HTC's fee income, and an advisory project HTC's succession plan. On the two assurance audits for bank token management and month-end reconciliation, we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weaknesses. Recommendations were made to enhance controls, and both teams that were audited have implemented protocols to further strengthen those controls. On the fee income review, we recorded trends we were seeing with respect to HTC's fee income and noted that HTC's fee income profile versus a subset of other HFAs compares well with HTC's productivity metrics for the industry. Finally, on succession planning, our assessment concluded that HTC exhibits a strong commitment to succession planning, continues to develop and provide opportunities for staff to advance, and turnover remains low. More details about each of these projects is in your packet. Any questions?
So you have not seen an escalation in social engineering threats or IT security type?
With respect to the two audits we completed?
Or just in general, maybe? Yeah.
I will let our chief info officer address that question on cyber. And actually, we were thinking about doing a cyber update for the audit committee in an upcoming.
Well, you can wait if you want to and answer it then.
Yeah, because we feel that's probably best in executive session.
Okay. That's fine.
So we are planning that.
Yeah, I mean, I can quickly say that we are closely monitoring it. Where, I mean, as you know, there's always a lot of new threats that are coming out. There are still a lot of phishing emails. We're closely watching. You know, the prediction is they're going to get better as AI becomes more. It'll be harder to detect the ones that are just misspelled with bad punctuation and so forth. But we do have full-time security staff now that are closely watching. Look forward to talking more about it in more detail when we can schedule a session.
And full did mention AI. We have formulated an AI working group at the corporation, and so we are tracking the city's activities around AI and strategy planning. And so we're working as well.
On the fee income, is your sort of differentiating other factors compared to other HFAs that it says here? Is that HTC specifically? Is that being in New York City? What do you think some of the factors are that make you stand out from other similar agents?
Yeah. We are unique, and we didn't find a lot of information, as you saw in the report. I think there were three other HFAs that we were able to get some details on. We are unique. We're the only city HFA. We are the largest, as you know, and we only do multifamily, and the other three also do single family. So we just thought it was a good exercise to see how we might compare versus other HFAs, and we looked pretty strong.
Yeah, I would say too, we came out of a retreat over a year ago, and that was an item that we wanted to look at. So we kind of scanned the environment and we adjusted where we needed to adjust. And it also is related to kind of some of the new work that we've taken on with other agencies, including NYCHA's and DSS stuff. So we made the adjustments, nothing crazy, and I have to say they were well received, like the adjustments that we made. So
thank you.
One thing I shared with Mary in a conversation regarding AI, the concern that the information source has a lot of inaccuracies and biases, and if that AI somehow gives it some higher credential, it's going to be problematic if it becomes a more prominent way of making decisions without correcting the base information.
Entrenching, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We Mary and I talk about this pretty often too, that the AI stuff, it's to sometimes you feel like it's out there, way out there, and other times you have this realization that it's coming at us much faster than I think people realize. And there are some experts, you know, there's philosophers of this stuff who actually feel like we could be in a 2 to 5, definitely a 10-year window at which some of this stuff really starts to self-accelerate. And you know, Paul and I have talked about it as well. We all, a bunch of us track it together, but I think it's going to surprise people faster. And the other thing that's really unclear, just to our larger mission, how much dislocation is going to happen in the labor market versus how much new opportunity happens. I think a lot of us worry that there's going to be significant dislocation, particularly around a lower income tier. So it's going to have its challenges that come out of that. Trying to stay on top of it, partly as a governance thing, but also it's going to really relate to our mission as well.
And, you know, we talk about the bias, and in our working group, one of our initial thoughts is that initially, anyway, we wouldn't be using AI for any decision-making policies. So that's our initial thinking, right. And that will probably have to evolve over time, but right. We do have the same concerns that you do around bias and accuracy of information that's feeding the AI.
The CFPB is looking at this issue, because especially as it relates to mortgage underwriting and at the home ownership level, yeah, that this could be just another way of blaming the computer for not approving mortgages. Yeah,
we're just not looking at being unable to understand reality. You see it already, like anytime something happens, someone blames like technology or AI, right? You're not allowed to really know because everything can be something else.
Right.
To your point about like entrenched bias too, there's at least two tiers of it. The first tier is one where it is entrenched. The second one actually argues that some of the AI gets so good at clearing up inefficiency that things that really are inefficient because of bias actually get swept out. So there's, I guess that's the optimistic version of it.
That would be optimistic. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? There being none, you're up again, Mary, for the approval of the Audit Committee Charter.
Thank you. Please present the revised Audit Committee Charter for your review and approval. Corporations Committee Charter requires a new of the charter's advocacy. The last time the Audit Committee reviewed and approved the Audit Committee Charter was June 1st, 2023. Substantive changes to the charter include: 1, adding a definition for a form, include adding a paragraph articulating how this works that are currently followed by the Audit Committee members. If there are no questions, the members of the Audit Committee are requested to approve the revised Audit Committee Charter.
Any questions?
What was the quorum before? It was a number, specific number.
We never had a definition for quorum, so that's why we just find it in the charter.
Okay, that says.
On page 2, so the committee shall meet separately, at least quarterly, with management, the CAE, and also with the independent auditors. That can be kind of more formalized.
Well, we do that. Yeah, we view this as that forum. I think that during COVID, we couldn't have those executive sessions. It's very difficult to do, and to back into in-person meetings to make that more of an issue, something we follow.
All right. Next item is the approval.
I move.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Yes. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Very much.
Okay. Now we have the approval of the second half of fiscal year 2024's internal audit plan. Neil.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present the proposed internal audit plan for the second half of 2024. As you will recall, we typically present quarterly audit plan cancellation of the audit. We were unable to present an internal audit plan for the third quarter. Today, we are seeking approval for an internal audit plan for the second half of 2024. The proposed projects include four assurance audits, the commencement of HDC's annual risk assessment process, the continuous monitoring of HDC's investment portfolio, and the global internal audit standards conformance review ahead of the IIA's implementation new standards early 2025. If there are no questions, the members of the audit committee are requested to approve the second half 2024 audit plan.
Thank you. No questions. Do I have a motion?
I move.
I second.
All in favor? Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. How are you? My audit plan for fiscal year 2024.
Excellent. Thank you. Great to see everyone this morning. And thank you for a couple of minutes on the agenda to talk through the fiscal 24 audit plan. Rob and myself, let's take a couple of minutes. I know that we're pushing to the top of the hour and board meetings. So we'll maybe just hit some highlights. It's the last item that was included in everyone's package. So I'll just maybe start on page one where we have an executive summary. Maybe just point out quickly that we're expecting consistent timing of our field work for the audit again this year. So really we'll be, we've already started on our side some of our initial planning steps, some of our initial conversations with Chuck and Kathy and their teams. But also we will continue to do our field work really throughout the months of October through January. Our plan would be to be at your January meeting as we typically are and present our audit results for the audit. So that will again be our plan. Maybe just turn to the next page just to highlight the audit services. So again, consistent items that we are auditing again this year. So that's the financial statements of the corporation, as well as the end schedule of investments, and then also your grant compliance audit. So your uniform guidance compliance audit, which is an audit of the federal programs that are received or those federal grant funds that are received by the corporation throughout the year. So consistent items there, as well as really the last item at the bottom, which is the compliance in accordance with the minimum servicing requirements around the mortgages. And so again, we will be performing that item as well this year. So like I said, consistent timing with field work, and we'll be doing all of those in conjunction or together at the same time and report back in January. Maybe take, or I'll let Rob take a minute to go through the areas of emphasis. We just have a kind of a highlight of kind of what are the material and significant areas of the audit where we'll spend most of our time as we go through these audit services. So maybe we'll just talk through quickly a couple items there.
Yep. So what I'll highlight first is that these areas of emphasis are consistent with the prior year, given that there have been no major changes to the entity as a whole. The one I did want to highlight is the mortgage receivables. That's the area we tend to focus on early through our confirmation procedures. Just given that there's a timeline of trying to send those out and follow up to get responses. So we've already connected with Kathy and Chuck and Musa on the timing of getting those out here over the next month or so to allow that you know, follow up time to occur properly so that we can minimize the follow up or the alternative procedures and documentation pull that the team has to perform. What we are focusing on within each of these areas, though, as the audit procedures and leveraging correlations that occur between transactions. And so if a cash transaction occurs, covering cash and revenue and receivables through that whole flow of that transaction rather than performing separate tests individually, that consistently allows for efficiency gains in terms of the hours that it takes to perform the audit, but also the amount of documentation that the team here has to pull to support those procedures. Overall, though, I think a lot of consistency from prior year. We're looking forward to getting started on the current year audit.
Perfect. Thank you, Rob. So maybe I'll just quickly touch the last items within the document in the appendices. Just a one page, some of our required communications, really nothing to call to anyone's attention at this point in our audit or as the result of getting our procedures started. So nothing really to highlight there. Then maybe lastly, just the last two appendices, one just around kind of a reinvestment in audit technology. So as Rob just spoke to, we've already been utilizing certain data analytics tools over the last few years on the audit. But just, you know, for everyone's awareness, Just a continued investment in those kinds of tools by our firm. So just a one pager there. To look at it, and then maybe also a hot topic, the last item around AI, and just some thoughts around AI in the audit world. But also just want to point out that there's, I'm kind of the left hand bottom section of that slide, just some questions for audit committees, you know, really just from a governance standpoint. I do think some key questions that I've been thinking about as you guys are having all the conversations that we were just having. So just some thoughts there from the firm and things to think about as you're going through that process. So yeah, I think that was the last thing for us. So again, just getting started with our audit procedures and going to move back and being ready to report our results.
Questions? Yeah, thank you, UI, for waiting there for you this year. any other business? Being none, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
In favor? Pretty good. Any opposed? No opposition? The motion carries and the meeting is now adjourned.